is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. COP29, Baku, Azerbaijan. A beautiful city by an enormous field of fossil fuel. Once upon a time, it was oil that fueled the early days of the 20th century. Russia drew on it. The Soviets drew on it. It was the target of the Hitlerites crossing through Russia to get to Baku and take possession of the oil fields there. It's on the Caspian Sea shore. No one much goes to the beach because of all these years of pollution from the early days of oil drilling. You can see wonderful pictures of the wood-built towers above the pumping stations. There are a few still there. The original is still there if you drive by it. This is a landscape that was once entirely underwater, and you feel like you're at the bottom of what was the Middle Sea surrounding the Earth many tens of millions of years ago. Today, it is the site of COP29. However, there's irony here and something to be done, because COP29 is understood as a work in progress. Very few world leaders have turned up to make remarks. There is nowhere near the enthusiasm that we've seen in previous COPs, dating back to 2015 and the so-called Paris Agreement to reduce greenhouse emissions to net zero by such and such a date. I mention all this because there are headlines out of COP that suggest there's tension, and there will be continue to be tension between the powers as they negotiate their way forward, such as India calls for climate justice. That's one to give you a flavor. The great India looking to solve its own problems, which is much of its energy, as I recall, is coal-fired. No natural gas, and they import oil from Russia during the war in Ukraine and pay a discount accordingly. So India calling for climate justice is strange. But I come to this, Gregory, to report to you. Germany, the most advanced manufacturing and social services nation in Europe, I think we can agree on that, has now lost its coalition government because of green, because the net zero costs necessary to follow through on its promises exceed the ability of the budget to pay for them unless they take it from other parts of their social services. And that was unacceptable to the coalition. The Chancellor Olaf Scholz fired Christian Lindner, the head of the Free Democratic Party and the finance minister, because he couldn't pay for net zero. And now they're going to a new government. The election is in February. I mention all this because it's green that did it. Green is more expensive than politicians have the way of can figure how to balance it out. Germany doesn't run off the books the way the U.S. does because it doesn't print the worldwide currency. It can't borrow against itself with the euro. And other nations are struggling in the same fashion, including the United Kingdom. They made great big promises. I think it was Boris Johnson when the COP was in Glasgow to get to COP, to get to net zero by such and such a date, and they can't do it. They want somebody else to do it, or they don't want to pay for it. And I add to that the fall of Volkswagen. After nearly nine decades, they're finally laying people off and closing factories. Why? In part because they committed themselves to EVs that do not sell. Do not sell in Europe, do not sell in the United States. And those EVs are said to be part of the green story. I'm describing in general, Gregory, perhaps peak green. I can't tell at this point, but the commitment to it is hollow. What do you measure is going on? Is this a pause until they start again? Or have they finally come to terms with the fact that their ambitions exceed their pocketbooks?
Well, I think you're right in describing it, John, as peak green. And it's not happening just in Europe or the United States. It's happening worldwide. But let's look at the COP situation. We saw that event, COP29, taking place at the same, more or less the same time as the APEC, the Pacific Conference, which was held in Lima, Peru, in the past week or so. We saw it also happening at the same time as the G20 summit in Rio de Janeiro. And both of those took a number of heads of government and heads of state away from the COP29. But the reality is that all of those summits, including COP29, show that the steam has run out of the globalist movement. And I started to mention this in about February this year, that we were seeing the faltering in this globalist movement, the one which postulated climate change as being the great and only important issue of the planet, and the subsequent virtue signaling of gender rights and the so on. All of these things started to collapse at the beginning of this year, and the real mark of the collapse of the globally conscious globalist movement, which is a part of the totalitarian move, which is transnational, that ran up against the brick wall of nationalism, as it has been progressively since about 2016. And we saw the collapse of this globalist movement. So we're seeing a lot of people who are saying, well, I don't need to conform with these hypothetical theatrics about climate change or about any of the other things like gender movements and so on. We can make up our own minds about certain things. And we saw that even with the socialist government in Germany having to go back to nuclear power, which was something that they had opposed. We start to see Australia with a very radically left Labor government, socialist government, is talking about nuclear power. We are seeing a revival of the spirit of combustion engines. We will not see this mandated change to electric vehicles in Europe or Asia or the North America occurring on schedule. In fact, that's being rolled back entirely. Mercedes and so on in Germany even have said, well, they'll continue to produce combustion engines. Bentley, which was going to go all electric, is now saying, no, we'll continue to make internal combustion engines. And this is happening globally. The market is coming back and saying, I don't care what the government or the politicians are saying. This is the way the world is. We will rely on a mix of energy resources, some of which may be the so-called new energy, wind power, solar, and the like. But we will also go with nuclear. We'll also go with internal combustion and let the market determine what's viable. And that's really, I guess, one of the great messages of the U.S. elections on November the 5th, the return to drill, drill, drill in the United States under President Trump, is getting back to making the U.S. a net exporter in fossil fuel energies. This will revive Canada as well. It will reinvigorate other markets in the world as well, and will return to seeing the production, the development of new oil and gas refining capabilities, as well as new nuclear power. We're starting to see the small to medium-sized nuclear reactors coming. We're starting to now get to the micro-modular reactors in the nuclear business to power ships, to power towns and the like. So all of these things are coming back because we're seeing the ending of political correctness, and nobody is buying the sky is falling capability, particularly of what we saw in the Middle Ages. The Children's Crusade was a crusade to go to the Middle East, never got there, basically to invoke the passions of people. We saw that again with a young lady from Sweden who invoked this Armageddon approach to nuclear or to energy as though she had some inside knowledge, spiritual knowledge of the end of the world. All of that's ending right now. We're starting to see a new world in which the globalist movement is declining. Nationalist movements, and I don't mean that in the sense of rabid right-wing xenophobia. I mean it in the sense of people standing up for the survival of their countries in a balanced economic framework. That's returning. So we are starting to see the return to a viable economy, which may sound old-fashioned, but that's what will finance the new technologies going forward.
A couple of moments, Gregory, for a question that it's the Marxist in me. I can't help myself. What we had here was a push towards vehicles that only rich people can buy, and vehicles that cost twice as much to insure because of parts, and also once the battery is damaged, you have to replace it. Very heavy vehicles that leave lots of rubber on the road, pollutant of rubber from the tires, and tear up the roads, much heavier than the fossil fuel vehicles. I've learned all this about EVs. So what we're talking about is a vehicle for everybody to express their sympathy with the Greens, a vehicle that cannot be afforded by 95% of the people on Earth, maybe higher than that.
Well, definitely.
It's odd in retrospect, but it was as if we were all under a trance, thinking that if we continued the trance long enough, we'd believe it. And then,
well, that's right. I pointed out that we were living under this mass psychosis for some time, where you were heavily penalized socially and perhaps in your employment if you didn't go along with this this mass psychosis. You were penalized and ostracized. You lost your job. You lost your means of income. And you're right. We lost sight of the environmental issues in favor of the climate change issues. And what we need to do is get back to looking after the environment, but also within a balanced economic framework. And that's what we have walked away from because of this urban-led mass psychosis.
Let me ask about two countries you're very familiar with. That would be Great Britain and Australia. Where are they in this continuum? Are they coming out of the trance?
They are coming out of the trance, but very slowly. The public sentiment in favor of nuclear power and avoidance of over-reliance on wind power and solar, because it's just not doing the job and they've given it plenty of time and plenty of money, that is ending. The Green Party in Australia is now out the window. That will diminish dramatically in the elections next year. The Labor Party will be thrown out for its commitment to environmental issues. And we saw even Prime Minister Albanese didn't show up at the COP29. In Britain, we're seeing the reintroduction of nuclear reactors and looking now at the small to medium reactors, and maybe even ones which are not uranium-powered but rather thorium-powered, which is what the Indians are starting to do because that's less likely to have any fissionable material, weapons-grade material coming out of the process. So the Greens are literally, as you said earlier, we've reached peak Green. The Green Party, whether it's Germany, France, Britain, Australia, United States, is finished. You look at the Green Party vote in the last presidential elections, it was meaningless. And so, in fact, I think the Libertarians scored much more in the votes than did the Green Party.
Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. Time for the King Charles Report. We're going to a place Gregory knows, the Commando Training Center for the Royal Marines in Limpstone in Devon.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.